Good afternoon, West Liberty. This is Jay Bird on WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, we have an episode of Academic Affairs, where we have an interview with a professor discussing topics about the class they teach and the AI use in the classroom, and many more questions about these kinds of things. And then we're going to ask some things where they began. Today, we have Professor Yadrick for our interview today. She is an instructor of psychology, and we are going to be learning a little bit about her teachings. Anyway, let's get to the interview. Thank you so much for being here, Professor Yadrick.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and, so we are going to start with a pretty difficult question here. Okay, so be prepared.
Okay.
So what is your favorite restaurant?
Oh, I think that my favorite restaurant is probably, it's called Chaikana Pittsburgh. It is an Uzbek restaurant in the Elliott neighborhood of Pittsburgh. And I just went to it very recently, but it instantly became my new favorite.
I've never heard of that. I've never been there.
It's very good. You can get Uzbek food, which there's a lot of lamb and beef and noodles, and the bread is delicious.
Sounds very tasty. Anyway, so as I mentioned earlier, I was talking about AI. How do you feel about students using AI, and why do you feel that way?
I think that AI can be used to help generate ideas pretty easily so that students can pick from a set of ideas and kind of make it their own. Usually what I find, at least as a professor, is that if AI is used to like write the whole paper, then I don't think that the students are really getting an opportunity to learn from that because it's kind of copy and paste. But there are a lot of other ways that AI can be used that are not just, you know, copying and pasting what it gives you.
Okay, so you believe that AI can be used, but not to write the whole paper.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that was just, I always wondered about that because that was always something on my mind coming to school here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to know.
Can I give an example?
Yeah, sure.
So
go ahead.
This is one way that I've actually used it. Because I'm a psychologist, one thing that we tend to have to do is we have to write out the symptoms of mental disorders, and that can be extremely time-consuming. So if you ask AI to do it, it'll kind of give you that list, and as long as you fact check it, it's a really efficient way to get that on paper without having to key it in manually the whole time.
That's really cool, actually. So what are some ways that you help students understand the topics that you talk about?
Oh, I think that might be a better question for my students, to be honest with you. I try to provide multiple examples from real life as best I can. So because I'm a psychology teacher, I think that it makes the most sense to have as many examples from real life as possible. If I'm describing major depressive disorder, I want to make it abundantly clear that everybody's depression is going to look different and give examples of how that might look in one person versus another.
Okay, so you used real life examples. That's interesting. Okay, so what is the main purpose of psychology, and what are some things that you can do with a psych major?
So psychology is the study of the mind and human behavior, although it can be expanded to animal behavior. So I would like to give a shout out to one of my students, or two of my students, Abby and Audrey, who are always talking about horse psychology. So using horses or studying horses, but usually it is the study of the mind and human behavior. And when we're studying behavior, we're trying to look at what is the function of that behavior? Can it be improved? Is there anything that we can do to use a better behavior? And when we're looking at the mind, we're looking at different elements that kind of go into our thought processes and other mental processes, like our memories or our thinking patterns. One of the things that I focus a lot on, especially in my therapy work, is the impact of negative self-talk. So when we insult ourselves in our head, we're more likely to feel anxious and depressed. If we speak to ourselves in a more realistic way instead of, you know, throwing insults at ourselves like I'm bad or I can't do this, then we're going to have a lot more positive results in our real lives.
Okay, interesting. So you said like what you put in your head is like how you reflect that as a person?
Yeah, so a lot of times our thoughts are going to influence our behavior. And if we're thinking that we can't do something, we might be more likely to give up. If we think that, or if we, I kind of use the phrase like call ourselves names. Like if we call ourselves names, like, you know, if you've ever said I'm dumb in my head, then that can lead to a negative mood and we might not have as good of a day as, say, if we take more of a problem solving approach and instead of insulting ourselves, say something like I can get through this or I can do this. And I also think I forgot to answer your other question. So that was, what can you do with a psych major? There's a lot of different things that you can do with a psych major. I think probably the first thing that people think of is maybe becoming a psychologist or even a counselor. And that's not the only thing that you can do. So although many people do have a goal to become a counselor or a psychologist, you can also become an animal behavior specialist. So for example, our department offers a canine cognition class this spring with Dr. Tammy McLean, and you can learn about how dogs behave and how to address any dog behaviors like dog training, even things like canine anxiety. So you could become an animal behavior specialist. You could work in education. So for example, I got my degree in psychology and here I am doing this interview with you, right? So I work in education. It depends on, you know, if you want to go to grad school or not, that kind of opens up some more elements. But even with the bachelor's level, you could work as a mental health technician. A lot of people end up working in healthcare. I know a lot of people end up doing case management and helping people that way.
All right, that was really interesting to learn about. So we are going to have a short break, but don't go anywhere because we are going to be right back with some more questions to ask Professor Yadrick. Things like who inspired her and why she wanted to become a professor. So remember, this is Academic Affairs on WGLZ 91.5 FM College Radio, and we are passionately vocal.
Hello, this is Dr. Robert Cruz, Professor of Geography and Planning at West Liberty University, and you are listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.
Welcome back to our episode of Academic Affairs with Professor Yadrick, and I am your host, Jay Bird, on WGLZ 91.5 FM College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. We left off talking about the use of AI and the purpose of psychology. This segment, we will be talking about what began her journey of becoming a professor. So my question for you is, who inspired you the most in your life and why?
A number of people inspired me, beginning, of course, with my mom and dad and my Aunt Joan. And then outside of my family, I would say that my best friend Emily and my boyfriend Michael inspired me. But as far as becoming a professor, I was really inspired by Dr. Tiffany Fletcher, Dr. Tammy McLean, and Dr. Rebecca Meacham, who are all in my department, and they were my teachers when I was a student here at West Liberty. So when I graduated West Liberty University and I found out about the opportunity to teach here, I was very excited to use what they had taught me and pass it on to the next set of students so that one day maybe I could be their inspiration.
Interesting. I was just about to ask you where you went to college. So why did you choose West Liberty? Is it because of psychology?
I chose West Liberty because the psychology program really impressed me. And it was also close to home, so I wouldn't have to move too far. And I really liked the campus in terms of how close it is to nature. So I liked the autumn leaves. I really liked that a lot of the campus feels almost like a park, kind of like a nice walk in the park. Not a big fan of Route 88, but that's okay. That's okay.
So here's a question for you. What is one of your hidden talents?
A hidden talent is hard to think of because it might even be hidden from me. Let me think. I do like to write poetry. I'm not sure how confident I am saying on the radio that it's a talent, but it's definitely an interest. So I do love writing poetry, and I wish that I could do that a little bit more often than I do currently. I know that there's a poetry club here, and that wasn't here when I was a student, so I'm really glad that students get an opportunity to join that and to exercise their skills there.
So you talk about poetry, but I know a lot of people use poetry as a way to like relieve like stress and get their feelings out. And so that's relevant to, I would say, psychology, right?
Yes. For me, they're very closely aligned. I think that poetry is a great stress reliever. I encourage my patients at my other job to use poetry or other forms of art as a coping strategy for anxiety or depression and things like that.
It's really cool. So if you wanted to go on vacation right now, get away from work, where would you want to go and why?
I would like to go to the Cass Scenic Railroad in downstate West Virginia because, number one, I think right now, because you said it's right this moment, the leaves are changed, so I think it would be very nice. I don't know if you're catching on, but I really like autumn leaves. And I like the opportunity to go through historic towns and historic villages, and you get to ride on a historic train up a mountain, which is right up my alley.
That sounds really cool. I love trains. I love them.
It goes all the way up the mountain. It's really neat.
Wow. I have to check that out at some point.
CASS, Cass Scenic Railroad.
Sounds amazing. So what do you think one of your students would be surprised about to learn about you and why?
You're asking the difficult questions. What would they be surprised about? There's so many things I feel like they know already. They know I love cats. You know what? Maybe not all of them know that I also love roller skating. So over the summer, I got out my old pair of roller skates, and I'm trying to teach my boyfriend and my best friend how to roller skate based on the very limited knowledge that I myself have. And they're doing great so far. So I'm a secret roller skater.
Maybe that's your true hidden talent.
Maybe that is. Hopefully. I've fallen, but if you know the right way to fall when you're skating, it becomes a lot less scary. You don't even fear falling anymore if you know how to fall.
It's honestly a very good tip. I think a lot of people should take that to heart right there.
Yes, it can be, if you imagine it metaphorically, you know, it's okay to fall as long as you know how.
That's inspirational. So you mentioned you have cats, or you like cats?
I do. I have cats. I have Luffy, and I have Asha, Luigi, and then a feral rescue from an alley named Pablo. Those are my cats.
I love Pablo. Pablo, yes, is a great name for a cat, I, yes, must say.
Thank you.
Where do you go to, like, since like psychology, like, you know, your mind and everything, mm-hmm, where would you say, you think meditating, do you do many meditation?
Ooh, it's funny because I am a therapist. I don't know how much meditation I myself do. For me, my meditation takes place during my drive here, my commute. And I tend to think of listening to music as a meditative state. And while definitely paying attention to the road, that's my disclaimer, I try to appreciate the nature that's around me. So if the sun is shining through the trees, I try to be mindful of that and appreciate that. Maybe listen more carefully to the music and kind of get in the zone with that. That's my meditative state. I think a lot of people assume that meditation is something where you have to kind of like sit down, cross your legs, and say om. And although that is a helpful and traditional meditation, it can be more mindfulness-based where you're just paying attention to the natural world around you.
Huh. I used to always think that to meditate, I literally had to do crisscross applesauce, sit down, and say om.
No, I listen to Blink-182 to meditate. So that's perhaps as far away from the traditional meditation as one can think. But my favorite meditation, I guess, in terms of like the traditional meditation would be something called Leaves on a Stream. And if any of you are interested, you could Google that. And I know that I keep coming back to autumn leaves. I'm sorry. But it's where you imagine your worries floating away on a leaf. And the more detailed you can get with that picture, the better. And it's really helpful for anxiety and a number of other stressors.
Wow. That's interesting. So earlier you were talking about poetry. I know mm-hmm. haiku is another form of like poetry. Mm-hmm. Do you do any of that?
I have never made a haiku. Kind of to continue my running joke, I feel like if I did, I would make it about autumn leaves. I'm very, very excited for autumn. Very, very excited. But no, I haven't actually done a haiku before. So that might be my next challenge. It's good to challenge yourself with a new skill every so often.
That's very true. Well, that's going to be all the time we have for this episode of Academic Affairs. Thank you so much, Professor Yodrick, for being here today.
Thank you for interviewing me.
Remember, I am your host, Jay Burr, and you have been listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Now, we're going to get to the music with All the Small Things by Blink 182.